I titled this message this morning, The Pit Crew. And many, many moons ago, I spent a little time in the pit crew. One of my favorite things to do was drag racing. And we had a 55 Chevy sedan delivery that we fixed all up and went drag racing with it. It was classified in D gas. And it was fast. But I couldn't drive it. The seat was back too far. It was stationary, and it had a four-speed transmission that had to be shifted. So, but in between races, I was part of a pit crew. And you get to really know each other. Good friends. Amen?
Amen.
Have you ever had one of those moments when everything just seemed to come together and you stepped back and said, wow, everything made sense. Everything worked out. We call it a light bulb experience or an aha moment. For instance, I might purchase something that says some assembly required. Typically, when it comes to putting things together, my objective is to get the job done as fast as possible. And I figured that if I had a good picture, the finished product would work right out. Is that right, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Reading instructions only slow you down.
You'll need some extra force.
After a second attempt at some element of that project, I usually get out the instructions, and in a little bit, I have an aha moment. And that happens often. I've had many of those moments while studying my Bible.
Amen.
I usually resort to the instructions and consequently have many aha moments.
Amen.
I like them.
Amen. That's right.
You know, that not only helps what I know about spiritual things, when I encounter something fresh and new, you begin utilizing that in your spiritual walk.
Yes. Yes.
And it helps you all the time. This morning, I want us to understand what God says about the church so that all of us can have an aha moment today.
Glory to
God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this first part of this service. Been wonderful. Thank you that we know you're here. Where two or three are gathered in your name, you're there in the midst. Thank you that since your presence, and I believe many more did also. Lord, take these few minutes and just speak to us. I believe what I am about to share is vital. I believe it's vital. So Lord, take my words. Let them be your words. And feed us today. Feed us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I guess we won't have the scripture today, so I hope you carried your Bible with you. And I always carried my Bible and still do today. I got Bibles everywhere. But I like to write in them. I like to put a note in them. I like to fill my border with what I hear and what I learn. So I generally carry my Bible, but I'll give you time to find these scriptures and I'll read them slow, okay? Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to start with verse 23 and go through verse 25. Some of you have the Bible on your phone. I know that. So I'll give you time to get there. And when you're there, please say, I'm here. Amen. Something. Say something. Okay.
I don't remember.
Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 23.
Here.
Here?
Yes.
Somebody went to school too long.
Still in it.
Still in it. That's right. All right. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching, folks?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Within our text are some very important instructions for churchgoers and church going. This passage in Hebrews is the classic scripture lesson that can help us learn about church participation. Now, I want you to notice that these verses are not directed at the preacher or the pastor or the person on the platform. The pronouns of these scriptures tell us that this passage of scripture is directed to everyone who has some connection with the church. Everyone.
Yeah.
Would that be you?
Amen.
Amen. That'd be you. Today's church has adopted this mentality. And it's been around for a long time. And it's slowly getting stronger. Christianity is between me and God. And my faith doesn't have anything to do with anyone else. Okay? We almost often refer to our Christianity as a personal relationship, and rightly so. But we must be careful not to exclude the relevance of the church in our walk with God. Because to fulfill God's purpose in our life, you must understand the value of your church relationship, actively working together with your personal faith in God.
Amen.
This scripture is not about one guy who stands in front of you and feeds you and runs the show. It's about an entire team, a family of people, the church, who you permit to be involved in your life as you mature your relationship with Jesus. Together, we are the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I titled this, The Pit Crew, like I said, and I'll explain that as I use this following story. Picture, for instance, the Indy 500 car race. And think about the moment when the cars are pulling into the pit for gasoline and tires and etc. Out comes this uniform-wearing, color-coordinated pit crew, and they surround their particular car. Everyone hurriedly begins working on their specified jobs. Now, picture a car that pulls into the pit, and there's no pit crew. It's kind of a self-service pit. The driver gets out of the car and washes the windows. Then he fuels it up, and he changes the tires all by himself. Now, folks, you and I know that he's not going to be efficient or win the race doing all these things by himself. Amen? Or let's say that a man who owns a race car employs only one guy to be his pit crew. Now, this guy does know everything about race cars. He's the best mechanic there is. But this doesn't make sense either. The owner of the will lose the race using only one man, even with his expertise and knowledge.
Yes.
Or worse yet, picture the owner of a race team looking down from his skybox and seeing a pit full of people that he's paying good money to. Amen? And only half the crew comes out and works on the car, while the other half just stand around examining their fingernails.
They're dirty.
What do you suppose the owner would do? I think he'll fire the slackers. Amen? Immediately. The owner knows that if his car has any chance of winning, then it's essential that everyone gets involved with his car and driver and pull it into a pit.
Yes.
Now, as we contemplate this story, I wonder how comfortable our owner is with Turning Point Church. Does he see it as a 1-2-3-man pit where the few do the work, equipping and encouraging the flock? Or does he see an entire team of Christians surrounding a person and saying, how can we help you? How can we encourage you? How can we assist you as you mature in your Christian walk? How can we spur you on to love and to good works?
Yes.
It amazes me that if the church is like a team, and we are all team members for the Lord, how so many church members are satisfied to just sit and be uninvolved. Amen?
Amen.
People will always join a team to get involved in the game.
That's right.
To play, to participate.
Yes.
For instance, I've never known of an athlete at any level going to his coach and saying, Coach, I've been starting all season and playing a little bit too much. Let someone else play and I'll sit and watch. Never seen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
As in sports, church has always been a team effort. But the problem today is that so many Christians are going to church without even a thought as to what they can do to help other Christians who may be struggling in their walk with Jesus. Sometimes we think of church as all one-sided or operating in one direction, and we totally forget about our personal responsibility to spur one another along. But folks, according to our text, we go to church to help other members to follow Jesus.
Amen.
To love God with greater intensity, and to love others more.
Amen.
Now, look at verse 24 again. I hope you kept it at Hebrews 10. You there?
Yes.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And let us consider, that phrase means we are to ponder, we are to meditate or study on how we can creatively challenge someone to grow in their faith. Now, if you don't spiritually ponder this to understand the concept, and you heard me tell you that you're called by God to come to church and help someone grow, you might just show up and simply say, "Hey, you need to grow." Folks, that's not the right approach. Amen? And they would probably give you a weird look or want to fight you or get offended and leave. Here are some of the ways that people have helped me to grow. They have bought me and brought me study materials that would benefit me, books and so on. They have influenced me through their advice, their love, and their friendship. And they have shown me that they are on the same team as me through their actions, like performing physical tasks around the church without even being asked. So what can you say? What can you do that will help someone at Turning Point Church grow as a Christian? Now, as a pastor, I'm called to do the same thing every week. To take a scripture, to study it, to hear the voice of God, and then pass a message on to you. But you are not bound by these same requirements. If you are a member or an attendee of Turning Point Church, you can let those spiritually created juices flow in you so that you might be the instrument God uses to provoke other church people to good work. You can even sit down with somebody and pray for them. Share your personal testimony. Tell them about the exciting victory you experienced in your life. Or share why a particular scripture is so meaningful to you. Do you come to church that way? Do you think about it ahead of time? We should all think about helping someone before we come. Many people in our culture think about church as a one-way street. The whole purpose is to feed them. And of course, that's part of it. But don't fail or don't fall into that self-serving rut. Because if you do, something might happen to your church attendance. If you think it's all about you, you might wake up one Sunday morning and think, "I don't really need today's message." At that point, if you don't see yourself as part of the pit crew at Turning Point Church, you might quit coming altogether. It happens. And that's why the next phrase, which is found in verse 25, is so critical. Look at verse 25, please. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some." Look back at verse 24. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." If you think about it, you can't do a lot of stirring up if you're not present.
Amen.
That's why a good Christian CD or TV or radio program or a video will never have as powerful of an effect on you as the same message would have if you were present.
Amen.
If you're physically able to attend church, Christian television isn't going to do it for you. Because the preaching and the worshiping are only two components, and that's all you see through that TV screen. The broader picture of church is that there are real, live people getting together, fellowshipping with one another,
amen,
in real life situations,
hallelujah,
and experiencing real Christian growth as they gather in the same place at the same time.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
As iron sharpens iron,
yes,
so does one man sharpen another.
Glory. Yes.
This sharpening can only happen in real life situations, and these real life situations can only happen when you're in the physical presence of God's wonderful people.
Amen.
Many times we have such a consumer perspective of the church that it ruins the whole church experience for us. For instance, I don't go into my favorite Mexican restaurant, probably El Centinela, with a servant's attitude, and look for some way to help people in the restaurant. You know, bring them their food, whatever I could do. I don't enter a restaurant with that idea. Amen? I go expecting to have someone else prepare the food for me and bring it out delicious and hot.
Yes.
My wife hates cold food from the restaurant. She wants to get up and scream when her food is cold. All I have to do and all I want to do is enjoy my good food and pay for it. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I hope you see it. The devil has inspired this same mental attitude about God's church. I come in, I sit, I receive, and I leave. I'll try not to get too intense. In Romans chapter 1, verse 11, Paul gives us his perspective on attending church. I'll let you get there in a minute.
What was that again?
Romans 1, verse 11. And it says this, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established or made strong." Paul is saying that he was eager to see them so that he could offer them something special for the purpose of giving them spiritual strength. Now, he doesn't stop there. He goes on to verse 12. In verse 12, he says, "That is that I may be encouraged together with you." That I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Do you see that, folks? Do you see what he's talking about?
Yes.
Let us come to the house of God with the attitude that it will be worth the effort of getting ready, loading the kids in the car, bringing my Bible, being cognizant of my spiritual gifts, and then being open to the Spirit so I'm led to someone that needs me.
Hallelujah.
And who I need.
Hallelujah.
So that both of us receive spiritual strength and encouragement.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now I want to show you this again. Paul is unable to go to the church in Thessalonica, so he sends Timothy as his representative, but his heart is still breaking, because he wants to be with the church so desperately. When Tim gets back, old brother Tim gets back, he reports to Paul. And then Paul writes what we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 through 10. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 10. Holler when you're there, folks.
There.
"But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrances of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith." Amen?
Amen.
Listen, folks, spiritual people long to be in church. Not only do they need it, they long for it. They desire to be a part of God's ministry to each other.
Amen.
Amen. When you see church as optional, then you don't see yourself as part of the pit crew that has been placed strategically to help people in and out of church. As people attend church today, they have one of two choices: servanthood or consumerism. Folks, Jesus was a servant above all servants. Amen. He was constantly aware of those around him, always available to give of himself. Are we not called to be Christ-like? Amen. When you come to serve, to help others, you will find yourself being even more blessed and enjoying even more growth.
Yes.
Do you want to see God pour out more than ever before?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Then just start having a servant's heart. Now, I'd like you to go back to Hebrews 10. In verse 25, the last part of verse 25, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And so much more as you see the day approaching. The day means Jesus' return. Are we closer to the day of his return now than when that verse was written? Amen. Do you think that we need to meet people together more now than then?
Yes.
Amen. As the events will testify, things in our world are moving rapidly from bad to worse. And although it was very important for the early believers to come together on a regular basis, I think we will all agree that the need for church attendance is absolutely essential for us. Amen. We need to prepare for the day of the Lord that is fast coming. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 through 5. And we use this verse, especially this year or last year, because the day of the Lord is coming fast, folks. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, all the self-serving attitudes of today's people. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. As things go from bad to worse, the church family may meet even more regularly. We might need to, because we will need the encouragement and support of one another.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, with all the advancements in technology and the increase of our assets, we get a false sense of security.
Yes, we do.
We make the assumption that surely things are getting better. Is that true?
No.
Have our advancements really made us better?
No, not really.
Not really. Did you know that on an average 266 new pornographic sites are added to the internet every day? Then there's the television. We have this box that is the window into our world. Our kids view over 100,000 episodes of violence before they're out of elementary school. And the violence is getting worse every year. Don't forget about our recreation. Did you know that there is one alcohol-related accident every minute in our country? Drugs are available everywhere, and drug addiction is rampant. Brothers and sisters, our world is getting worse. And the Bible tells us that it will continue this downward digression until Jesus comes.
Amen?
As things get darker and more dangerous, what does the Bible conclude? We must have more together time. Because we need each other. We need each other. It's critical, saints. It is here that we will influence each other for Jesus. It's here that we will deepen our friendships with like-minded believers. It's here that we will enjoy positive peer pressure as we seek to serve the Lord. Amen? It's here that we will get rooted and grounded in the truth of the Word. Amen. Now, let me ask you, is it always easy to come to church? No. Is it always comfortable? Is it always convenient? The answer, of course, is no. Sometimes you will sacrifice. It'll cost you. It'll cost you. But the benefits are well worth the price.
Amen.
Amen. And if you think this is all about showing up to services once a week and giving three songs and a 30-minute plus sermon, you're missing the point entirely.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
And this is what I can do. I can prophesy and say, you're going to have trouble making it.
Yeah.
You're going to have trouble making it. And to that I say, heaven forbid.
Yes.
Heaven forbid. Now, I want you to turn back to Hebrews, and I want you to go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 13. We there?
Yes.
But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Yeah.
Have you ever known some people that have gone to a spiritual retreat? Do you remember how they acted upon their return of such an event? Weren't they all enthused? Weren't they all on fire for Jesus? Revived? Were the teachings there based on something other than the Word of God? No. Maybe they were just more enlightening. Was the music there so much more moving? Or could it be that these people came back on a spiritual high because they had spent two or three days surrounded by other Christians?
Right. Amen.
Amen.
And the continual influence they experienced from one another?
Yes.
Yep. Amen?
Right.
You see, if church is something you only do 2 hours a week or less, then you probably aren't getting all that you want or need.
Yeah.
That's right.
Truth is, we should probably be doing church every day. I'm not insinuating that you should be here doing church every day, because that would probably include me being here doing church every day. But we do need to be building Christian relationships and having Christian love and encouragement every day,
yes.
Spurring one another on. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47 is the new believers, and it says there, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Hallelujah.
Where was that?
That's Acts chapter 2, verse 46 through 47. Now, I've been in groups like this, in lots of excitement, lots of love, lots of word, even enough faith to believe for a healing, a deliverance. I've been in these groups. And folks, the best church services I've ever been in are like this. And years ago, I asked a person a question that I think this was even before I became a pastor. They were traveling all over the place trying to get a touch from God in one of these meetings, and some did, some didn't. But I asked the question, why can't you get a touch from God at your church? Now, you might have to help set the stage, bring the enthusiasm, share the word. But why can't you do it right here? I believe this idea will happen anywhere. Might take some effort, but so does driving 100 miles. Now, let me close. Did I just hear a sigh? Was that I'm sorry he's done sigh? Or thank you God he's done? I recently read something about chemicals that I'd like to share with you before we leave. I was never good at chemistry in school. We didn't get along well at all. And what makes that so strange is my dad was a chemist and an excellent chemist. And I was always the source of embarrassment. There are certain elements that when they're mixed together, the compound they make or the gas or the solution will become volatile. After working in refineries and chemical plants for so many years, I also know that even oxygen mixed with certain elements can cause catastrophic problems, reactions. So folks, there are some things that you just can't mix together, because an explosion will take place if you do. Now, please listen and get my point. If someone puts a group of stamp collectors together and they do their thing and they share a passion for stamps, it's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal. But folks, how about the love of dogs? You put dog lovers in a dog show. And it's nice and dogs look great, but it's not a big deal either. However, if you put the body of Jesus Christ together, and they start sharing their passion for Jesus and their experiences that they have had, amen, it should become one of those volatile.
Whoa, there it is.
Don't get volatile. It should be one of those volatile mixtures. Just one on fire member can ignite the catalyst that's setting idle.
Amen.
In a group.
Yeah.
However, when you're sitting at home, alone, you will neither catch on fire nor start a fire.
Right.
No.
Amen.
It won't happen. As you leave here this morning, I want you to understand, God is calling you to ignite an explosion of God's Spirit in this church. Into your family, your neighborhood, your work environment, and any other place where you recognize there's a deficiency of God's zeal. Time is running out. Amen?
Right.
Let's determine to get off the seat of do-nothing.
Yes.
So that we might cause an explosion of God's Spirit all around us.
Yes, hallelujah.
You know, I would love to see League City revived.
Amen.
Love to see Houston revived. But more than anything else, I want to see Turning Point Church revived. I want us to be a place where you can, them 100-mile trippers will come.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Because we have something.
Yes.
And that something's only developed when we spend time together.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about God's plan for us. This is God's plan. I know you all don't come here because I am such a great preacher.
You are, though.
No.
You preach what God puts on your heart.
I do. God put you here.
Yep.
And it's the best plan for you.
Amen.
And it's the best plan for this church.
Yes.
And they all said,
Amen.
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 Yes. Can we pray for Christy again? She goes for her MRI next week.
Sure. Sure. Be glad to. You know, I think of myself a lot of times and compared to the messages I preach. And I think, where'd you get that here? It didn't come from experience. Because my experience is I'm not much. Okay? And I'm not trying to put myself down. I'm just being realistic here. God makes people much. God changes who we are.
Yeah.
Right?
He really does.
You or me can be anything that God wants us to be.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And praise God for that, Pearl Ann. Praise God.
Yes. Glory.
Because I think most of us have things that we don't like about ourselves or can see reasons why we don't want that to get out or hide it the best we can, those kind of things. But God can do anything with any of us.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
I just talked about how fellowship needs to happen.
Yes.
That's not a bad word.
No.
Years ago, we used to do a tri-fellowship where Bonnie and I would sit down and we would pick three couples and put you all together for 3 months. You had one of the couples house first month, then you go and the other one to the second house, and you alternate, you go to the three houses, because you want to get to know somebody, go to their house.
Yeah.
Go to their house, you'll know. And it'll help you see their struggles, it'll help you minister to them, it'll help you with everything in fellowship. But fellowship is so needy. My parents were good Christian folks. Every Sunday night, they'd go to church, and then somebody would be at my house, or they would be at somebody else's house, without fail. And looking back, they had some of the best friends.
That's right.
Some of the best friends you could ever imagine. But they worked at it.
They worked at it.
I wish I could have some of my mother's desserts. She was a baker. Wow. And she always thought you had to have a little sweet after eating. And that's probably why there's diabetes, right? It's funny what you think of. But it takes work. And not everybody's in a position to do that. I know that. We're talking about generally things, but there are conditions we got to work with. But folks, have somebody over. You know, it used to be too, when visitors come to church, church people go visit as soon as church was over. I've had people beat me home. They were there waiting to talk to me before I got home, sitting on the porch. But now people don't want you to come to their house. It's private, yeah. Shame on us. The world creeps in.
Yeah.
It just creeps in. One day it's this way, and before you blink your eyes, it's different. In my neighborhood growing up, everybody knew who I was. And they had my mom and dad's telephone number. And the kids nowadays don't even know the kids' names, and they go to school and ride on the bus with them and all that stuff, and they don't know the kid down the street. What is happening? It isn't God's plan.
Right.
Whose plan is it?
Yes.
The enemy. Anyway, I don't want to bore you anymore with it. But I want you to stand a minute, and then we're going to pray for Cindy, not Christian. I want to start doing this again. Brother Glenn, both of us, I want to bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray for Christy and you.